Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. I am Tom, cruise director, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. You can check out all of our podcasts and our podcasters podcasting locally. This podcast is also supported by The Nook. Who would have thought? Amazing little restaurant next door. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, located in the Painter's Mill Shopping Center. I don't know if this is really a shopping center. Painter's Mill, off Cave Neck Road. Amazing group over there. They built a tent in front of the place. Don't tell them what they can't do. Tell them what they can do. That's what I love about those. The Nook. How is everybody doing? Pretty excited. It's Friday, and I feel pretty good. I don't know about everybody else. I've had one of these. I'll just share what's going on with me. So we all know my mom passed away. That was a week ago Wednesday. And then they had the Eddie Vedder interview with Howard Stern on Monday. And prior to my mom passing away, Eddie Van Halen passed away. And now we have had the election, and God only knows what the hell's going on with that damn thing. On top of COVID, and I just have a lot of emotions right on the surface. Just right there. I'm about to burst into tears at any moment with about 5 good reasons. I feel like the last couple of weeks have been a real challenge, you know? And it hasn't felt good. I felt very disturbed, so to speak. And I'm just trying to figure my way through it. You know, the Eddie Vedder interview on Howard Stern was, to me, it was amazing. I had a client yesterday. I asked them if they had listened to it, and they said her husband couldn't stand listening to Eddie Vedder, so they turned it off, which I kind of get. Kind of get that, because you know he's got a deep voice, and he's slow, and he's very, you know, a lot of thought goes into every word. And I'm not always been a big fan of an Eddie Vedder interview, even though Eddie Vedder, to me, I don't know how I can describe the relationship. First of all I love the band Pearl Jam. Amazing band. They do a song called Release. They do a song called Alive. Anybody that's lived on this planet in the last 30 years, probably familiar with the songs, whether you like them or not. But as a kid that was adopted, as a kid constantly struggling, as a kid trying to find something to blame my struggle on, when Pearl Jam released their first album and they released a song called I'm Alive, or it's called Alive, and it talks about how when Eddie was a kid and his mom had remarried, and when, you know, they had kind of led Eddie to believe that the father or her new husband, his stepdad, was always his original father. While at the same time, his real birth father had been kept a secret from him, was slowly dying, and they didn't tell him. They didn't kind of come out with the truth until, I don't know if he had died or was just about to die or whatever it was, but, you know, there was some, you know, some things withheld from him. And then they also do a song called Release, where it talks about, you know, oh dear dad, you know, it's this relationship. It's a song about his father. And as a kid that was adopted, it's been this, like, kind of this, I don't want to call it a safe place, but a place where I go, where I would fantasize that if I had only known my real father, my life would have never gotten so complicated. It's a fantasy. So understanding how that song is about the relationship of the missed relationship with the father, I was really able to identify with it and love the band and just love that. And, you know, anytime I would hear Release, you know, I would probably start to cry. If I heard it live, I definitely would cry. And I'm not the only person. There's hundreds of people that appreciate that song for that reason. Whether, I th- you know, and the fact that I'm adopted, you know, I think everybody, you know, has a challenge, especially as we grow up in the relationship with our father, especially guys. And so I think a lot of people, adopted, not adopted, really have a relationship with this song. And they were talking about the interview the following day, and you know, the people that work at the Howard Stern Show were talking about how they just get very touched by Eddie Vedder. You know, musicians like him are fading away. And if you don't like Pearl Jam, you know, I get it. That's fine. But for the most part, he's a pretty freaking awesome guy. And so to listen to that 3-hour interview and him talking about these things in a way, in depth, that he has never talked about them before. And he even talks about in the interview how he has spent so much of his time trying not to talk about these things, thinking that he's trying to protect something, you know, ego. And him sharing how ego and has gotten in the way of so many things. And I could really, you know, I could really relate. And even Howard was like, listen, I get it, man. I'm the same way. And Howard even talks about how, like, when Lorne Michaels invited him to be on Saturday Night Live, and Howard was like, I've got writers. I'll have all my own stuff written. You know, disrespecting Lorne, saying to him almost in a way, you know, your writers aren't good enough. I'm important. I have my own writers. And even Howard said, what an asshole move that was on his part. I mean, we're like fruit, right? We're maturing. We're constantly maturing. You know, I've spent my whole life being immature, right? You're immature, immature, immature. I mean, if you look at life like an avocado, you know, you go to the store and there's only one avocado that we want, based on, I guess, when we want it, right? Because it's that time sensitive, the old avocado. Like, if you need guacamole or something for that night, you better find the right perfect avocado, because anything too mature, it's not good. Anything immature, it's not good. You need perfect maturity. And it's kind of like how my life is. It really was good. I wasn't worth anything to anybody immature. And at some point, I'm going to be over mature, and I'm not going to be worth anything to anybody either, because I'm going to be a pain in the ass. But this is that time. And this is that time, like Howard talks about and how Eddie talks about, where, you know, I've wasted so much time being with ego and immaturity, trying to protect something that wasn't really necessary. And whether it's that situation for them or situations that I'm going through, I think it's about the surrender and being able to recognize, wow, I'm really being a fucking asshole here. For what? For what's the purpose? It's about growth, and to watch or listen to Eddie talk about that. And what I heard was he's kind of going, even though Eddie Vedder is Eddie Vedder, super rock star, he's still just a human. And at 50, whatever he's at, 59, 61, I don't know, he's in that area. And even Howard, probably in his 60s, recognizing the maturity in their own lives. I think that love that song. Oh my God. And, you know, I saw, you know, Joe Walsh on Howard Stern with the James Gang doing that song. And I'm like, fuck, I love that song. God damn. Love Howard. But back to the, you know, so between Eddie Van Halen, which brought up a ton of memories as a kid growing up, my mom dying, which of course brought up a ton of fear that I had lived with and a lot of, you know, guilt and for having had to have her in a home, not being able to visit, all that. And then the election and then the interview. I've just got a lot of emotions going on. And I don't think I'm alone. I could dial 10 random numbers and talk to 10 random people, and 10 random people would probably all tell me the same thing. They're just exhausted. Exhausted. You know what? My advice, I talked to a friend of mine's wife this morning because she's stressed out. She's stressed out over all of it. And my advice to her was, mind your own business. People don't like to hear that. It's so funny. Mind your own business. You know, an eyebrow raises, huh? Mind your own business and stay on your square. You're safe there. What's my business today? Number one on the line of business for me today was to wake up and make coffee. Sit down, relax a little bit. Second thing was to go for a run this morning. Go for a run and enjoy it. And then what do? I start posting the pictures for my run. I start seeking out some recognition, I guess. I don't mean to. It's just what I do. I don't care. I'm a little bit bad at that. But then you start seeing like social media, and then all of a sudden shit starts coming in that isn't really any of my business. And then a little bit of unrest starts to build up. Come to the salon, do a podcast. I actually had some things I had to take care of this morning with some other things, but that was all part of my business. But if I start looking and paying attention to what other people are doing and start to create an opinion, there's where the shit starts. Just mind your own business. Mind your own. You know, if you went back 50 years ago and I love when there's reminders of that. But 50, 60 years ago, if you were sitting around and talking, let's say I was at work and talking about something that wasn't my business, somebody would come up and say, you guys need to mind your own business. People didn't hesitate to remind people of that back in the day. Watch your mouth, mind your own business. Watch your mouth and mind your own business. It should be mind your own business. And in the end, you probably have to watch your mouth a little less. But we started creating opinions and, oh my God, and then it's a free-for-all. And that was my advice to her. Mind your own business. Stay on your square. Don't project. Don't reflect. Stay in the day. Stay in the minute. Create reminders for yourself. All of this behavior is a habit. For me, everything I do is a habit. And in the end, I surround myself with people that allow me to create habits, good or bad, an audience. And I told her, I said, these are all habits that you've created. You need to start making new habits. It's a challenge, it's difficult. But if you don't do the work, you're going to sit there and be miserable because you're not going to be able to mind your own business. We are really only designed to handle a couple things. Really, everything, you know, it's enough that we have going on in our lives already, but to try to manage that and other people's, especially if you have kids. I've always thought to myself, being a father does not mean that my job is to manage my children. I want to be an example to my children. But I don't want to manage you. Nobody likes to be managed. I know I don't. I had to make an amends the other day. I had to say I'm sorry about this morning. It wasn't about last night. It was about this morning. And it was to my son. And he, you know, my son and I have always had a great relationship with communication. He's great at communicating. In fact, he says shit to me that makes me go, whoa. And, you know, it's very mature thought. And what I did, and I do it a lot, is that I like to run. So I went to the Nike outlet and I bought these running pants. They're like spandex kind of, you know, like tights, running tights. And I like using those in the winter when it's cold and I can just, you know, run in them. And so I bought these pants and they didn't fit. I'm too fat. It's like a sausage. So I'm like, here, David, you take these, because David's doing cross country track. And I'm like, here, you know, these would probably fit you if you just put them on and then put like shorts over them. And he's like, oh, okay, I guess. Right away, I didn't appreciate his response. I felt like it should have been a little bit more full of excitement. And I go, well, try them on, see if they fit. And he's like, oh, and he was actually in bed. He was still sleeping. I had woken him up. This is how, you know, when I have a bright idea, it's like, you know, nobody's safe. Get up, get out of bed, try these on. This is the greatest idea I've ever come up with. You wearing these pants while you run, you're going to love it. Oh, gets up, puts them on. He doesn't like them. So I'm like, fine, whatever. Walk out, shut the door, all emo. He didn't like what I suggested, so I got emo about it. And then he's like, yeah, I don't know why you have to get all emo about it. You always do that. And then I snapped. And I probably pulled 4 or 5 things that I'm a little frustrated with about him that aren't even really, they're not, it's small things. But I just found 5 and I threw them all at him, yelling at him. You know, you don't like this, you can fucking this. And if you don't like that, you can fucking this. And just really inappropriate. And what I was saying is I think, or my feelings got hurt because I wasn't getting what I wanted. And what I wanted was him to say, oh my God, thank you so much. These are awesome. He didn't say that. So I had a fucking fit. And I left and I felt terrible. So when I got home, I went and found him and I said, listen, I'm sorry. And he goes, it's okay. And I go, I love you. He's like, I love you. He goes, it seems like whenever you come up with these ideas and if I don't like him, you get all emo. He straight called me out. And I said, you're right. I do that. And I said, I'm sorry about that. I'm going to try to be better. But I made my amends, you know, and not only did I just make my amends, he brought up some things that I need to work on, and I made a commitment to him that I'm going to try to be better at that. I don't want to be part of my son's fifth step one day, you know. I don't want to have a conversation and make a lot of apologies one day because I was just so involved in my own self that I didn't pay attention to what my kids want. I don't want to repeat what my dad did to me. And my dad was fine, you know, perfect dad, but our relationship these days is not that great. Very, very difficult, very challenging. I want to be the opposite of how I was raised. The opposite. You know, my mom died. She really held this family together. You know, my dad got pissed off at me the other day. And if you don't like, and I don't know how a relationship it is with your dad, and I'm sure if your dad's gone, you're probably like, listen, man, you shouldn't argue or fight with your father because my dad's gone, and I would give anything to have him back. And I get that, but my dad's here still, and I'm dealing with him. And once he goes one day, and I'll probably reflect and say, you know, you shouldn't have been so annoying or you shouldn't have been so annoyed. But I try to have a lot of patience with my dad. Have him over 3 nights a week for dinner. And every time he comes over, it's just everything that I'm doing wrong. He was just over the other night pointing out everything we're doing wrong. And I'm like, bite your tongue. It's all for the good. You know, you want to be there for him. I promised my mom I would take care of him. And I do. And I want to. I want nothing more than to have an amazing relationship with my dad. I want that. My dad doesn't know anything about that. Very difficult for him. And honestly, if it wasn't for getting sober, and if it wasn't for the 12 steps of the program that I went through, if it wasn't for a sponsor, if it wasn't for meetings, if it wasn't for the desperation of being sober, if it wasn't for the desperation of finding serenity, if it wasn't for putting all that beside, behind me, and just in the moment wanting to find serenity, I wouldn't have a relationship with my dad at all. But I have to surrender and just do it, you know? Okay, I get you. I hear you. No, I got it. You're upset. I get it. I get that. I understand. I try to be like very, I don't even know the word, what the fuck I'm trying to be. I'm just trying not to stir the pot anymore. Very, 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 very difficult. All right. Let's see. Let's read. I ran this morning and listened to yesterday's podcast. I butcher this daily reflection sometimes. I'm sorry. It's hard to read. It's weird. It's always been that way with like the big book and all these other different things that I've read. I'm reading it and I don't understand how things were, the cadence of things written back then. And so I apologize. I hope it doesn't make you drink. If it is, that's unfortunate. But I'm going to, let me find this. Let me see if I can read it better. And, I'll see if I can find something in it for today because it's important to me. Let's see, daily reflections. Here we go. I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to bet it's something about surrender. I know that aggravates. All right, here we go. Here we go. It's Friday. Here we go. Oh, November 6th. Oh, I already like the title. November 6th, Going with the Flow. Smells of surrender already. All right, here we go. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him. It's the 11th step, I think. I love that. All right, here we go. Let's see if I can unscrew this up. The first words I speak when arising in the morning are, I arise, O God, to do thy will. This is the shortest prayer I know, and it is deeply ingrained in me. Prayer doesn't change God's attitude towards me. It changes my attitude towards God. As distinguished from prayer, meditation is a quiet time, without words. To be centered is to be physically relaxed, emotionally calm, and mentally focused and spiritually aware. One way to keep the channel open and to improve my conscious contact with God is to maintain a grateful attitude. On the days when I am grateful, good things seem to happen in my life. The instant I start cursing things in my life, however, the flow of good stops. God did not interrupt the flow. My own negativity did. Yep, there it is. I mean, how many ways can you say you got to surrender? You know? Surrender. That's how I dumb everything down for old Tom here, is I have to basically, it's surrendering. When I stop getting my way, doing self's thing, it's not good. But if I keep my mind open, surrender, life is much better. I love that. Let me look at that again. That was good. So good. I love that. That's the 11 steps. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him. I love, it says, the first words I speak when arising in the morning are, I rise, O God, to do thy will. This is the shortest prayer I know and is deeply ingrained in me. Prayers don't change God's attitude towards me. It changes my attitude towards God. Exactly. Praying rightly. Don't pray for things. Never works out. As distinguished from prayer, meditation is a quiet time without words. To be centered is to be physically relaxed, emotionally calm, mentally focused, and spiritually aware. I love that stuff, man. It is a, you know, fortunately, I'm an alcoholic. Fortunately, I had to learn about this stuff. Fortunately, this stuff came into my life. You know, you talk to my father, who never struggled with anything. He doesn't understand any of this. And the worst part about my dad, I feel, is that he's just full of self and doesn't even know it. You know, if you show up with a list of problems that you've had through the day, tasks taking too long, too many tasks, handling all this business, if that is the list that you bring, you've basically lived a day of self. But if you bring a list of all the things that you got to do, yeah, I was able to, you know, reach out to the university that, you know, paid your mom's retirement and let them know that your mom had passed so they could stop sending money. I got to do that. You know, if I was able to reach out and talk to, you know, people about this, and I was able to handle these problems, these are things I got to do. But if only your list is of all the things that you have to do, you've lived a day of self, and you're probably pretty grumpy about it. I'll never forget the day that I sat in jail in San Diego under a 23-inch television mounted on a wall behind a piece of plexiglass, and I thought to myself, I don't care what happens in my life ever. It's got to be better than this. And I said, I will never, ever complain again, because this is the bottom and it's only up from here. Since I'm gone, think that I'm growing, tastes the same without you. I got myself in the worst mess I've been, and I find myself starting without you. Seems to me. We'll be right back.
seems to me.